Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. It's a good day for Vikings fans today, isn't it? Because of what happened last night. All right, I'll leave it at that. If you don't know what happened last night, you're not a true Vikings fan. All right? Well, we're very early in the season of ordinary time. And brothers and sisters, with that, let's just do a quick review of where we've been. The Christmas season ended with the feast of the baptism of the Lord, Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And with the feast of the baptism, Jesus launches into his public ministry. And the first miracle that we heard of Jesus was the gospel of last week, the wedding feast at Cana. Remember that, for those of you here last week, and for those of you not, I had a jigsaw puzzle up here that my mom had assembled, and it was 1,000 pieces. And it was of the miracles of Jesus, 17 of them. The one in the middle, of course, was the wedding feast at Cana. And using that, I preached on that last week, and we can really boil it down to two important points. Number one is this: invite Jesus into our lives. Okay? No Jesus equals no miracle. Okay? The second thing is this: when we invite Jesus into our lives, expect the spectacular. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. If we allow him in, let him do his thing, he will give abundance. That's what we saw in that paint picture of last week. Not only was there wine being poured in the jar, there was an overflow. It was on the rim, actually, of the jar, the handle of the jar. Some had even spilled on the ground. There's an abundance. Jesus gives abundance. And not only abundance, it's the best. They take you to the head waiter and say, this is even better than what you first served. Where was this at the beginning? And so with that story now, we come to our gospel of today. Last week, I asked you this question. I want you to think about this. 37 miracles of Jesus. Which one is your favorite? This week, I have a due assignment for you, and here it is. Today we hear Jesus is handed a scroll. He unrolls it, and he proclaims a passage. Here's my question for you. Someone came up to you and asked you, what is your favorite biblical passage? What would it be? Note, is not a book of the Bible. What would it be? I'm serious about this. We got to know our Bibles. Okay? Protestant comes up to you and says, a Lutheran brother, sister comes up, says, what's your favorite Bible verse? You say, got to know this. Okay, now remember, we're different from Jesus. Jesus only had the Old Testament to choose from. We get them both, don't we? We get them both. So I'm going to practice what I preach. Here's my scroll. I got mine right here. And I'm going to read it for you at the end of this homily today. Okay? I practice what I preach. So let's get to that scroll. We hear from two people who do that very thing today. They pick up a passage and they proclaim it. Let's start with our first reading today from the book of Nehemiah. Some background here is going to be crucial to understand this story. So here it is. When the Persians defeated the hated Babylonians, because the Babylonians were hated by the Jewish people, because when they conquered them, they took them into exile. They took them into the Babylonian territory. Well, when the Persians beat the Babylonians, defeated them, they told the Jewish people they could go home. And you know something? After a while, many of the Jewish people kind of liked being in the Babylonian territory. It's hard to get up and it's hard to move, isn't it? And so don't get this idea when the Persians said you could go home, that all of a sudden there was this exodus of people after people after people. It took time. As a matter of fact, as the story goes, 100 years after the order, the Jews were still trying to build their cities and their civilizations. Nehemiah steps in. Nehemiah sees what's going on. He has a key post in the government of Persia, so he goes to the king and he says, would you mind if I go home and help my people rebuild? And not only does the king say you can go, but he makes Nehemiah the governor of Israel. And with that, Nehemiah goes. And he gets home and he's shocked at what he sees. And he realizes what has happened. In Babylon, the people lost touch with God. And so now we come to that first reading. Nehemiah calls this great assembly of men, women, children old enough to be able to understand, and what is read to them is read. Now remember, it is read to them. Back in those days, books were rare. Many people were illiterate. They were expensive. As a matter of fact, how many of you would take on this task if I still do this? Okay, for the sake of more Bibles to be have in the world, I want you to go home and I want you to handwrite out the Bible. Start from Genesis all the way through Revelation. How many of you would do it? Okay, there you got the answer. They were rare. Rare. So somebody had to read it. Enter Ezra. And did you hear it today? He read from sunrise to midday, 6 hours. How many of you would let me do that? You'd probably leave. What took so long? What did he read? Here's the answer. He read the law. He read to him Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are long books. Would take some time. And not only did he read, but he interpreted for him what it meant. The law, how important God is, we stay faithful to God. That is the reboot Nehemiah believed the people needed. Okay, let's move now to Jesus. Jesus is handed a scroll. It is from what prophet? It's from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolls the scroll and he reads a passage to the people. Okay, it's actually Isaiah 61, chapter 61, verses 1 to 2. Notice he doesn't read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It tells you something. Jesus isn't there with his own people to proclaim the law. The verse he chooses is about him. Who is Jesus? This is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus. I, Jesus, have been anointed for a task to bring the good news. I, Jesus, have come for those bound, ill-treated, misunderstood, the oppressed, the blind, the poor, to bring glad tidings, liberty, and freedom. And as we know, that's the work Jesus set out to do. Now, he's at home among his own folk with whom he grew up. How did they accept his words? Well, that's the gospel of next week. So I'm going to touch on that next week. We'll leave it at that point. Okay, as I said, Father practices what he preaches. So as we hear in the gospel of today, tendon hands Jesus a scroll. Here's my scroll. Okay, he unrolled it. I'm going to unroll mine. Here is my favorite biblical passage. Are you ready? John 16, verse 33. Here it is in a little commentary. Passage reads, I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world. Little commentary, here it is. Yes, in many ways, the world has tried to destroy the church by trying to silence the church, yet Jesus' promise has always been that nothing will destroy his church. The church will stand until Jesus comes again. Thus, whatever comes our way, we are to have courage. We are to never, ever be afraid. And that is true. When I come back to it, one of the great phrases you will remember from me is this. Remember, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Okay, there it is. What's yours? I looked up all the books of the Bible. I didn't see Matter of fact, on the way home, if there was more than one in your vehicle, ask each other that question. What's your favorite Bible verse? Some of you may say, Father, I came alone. I don't have to worry about it. Oh, yeah, you do. See me. I'll ask you. Okay? But really, what is it? We should be able to say, here it is. This is what it is. Here's what it reads. Why this? And you know what? It can change. 10 years from now, it may be a different one. That's okay. But in that, what do? We learn the Bible and what it means to us. So let's remember that. And blessings and peace to all of you this day.